And welcome back to 1550 today. I'm Paul Roberts. And my guest today is Zulfikar Rashid, who was born in Pakistan and now resides in Southern California. As a regular contributor to various newspapers, Rashid has written extensively recounting his travels to Pakistan about major figures in the Pakistani artistic and cultural scene. Rashid is also an accomplished artist and calligrapher, whose art has been featured in the San Diego Union Tribune. Zulfikar, welcome to 1550 today.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program. You know, so much has been going on in your country, especially with religion. What concerns you about that?
Well, Paul, a couple of things concern me. One is that there is this image that has been created about the religion and about Pakistan based on what the Taliban are doing, which is, in my view, not really representative of either Pakistan or Islam. And on the other hand, there are within Pakistan some distortions of religion that happen that affect children particularly. And those are the things that concern me, and that's why I'm on the show and I have written a book called The Red Boys of Karalabad to bring light to these issues.
Now, you have said that religion can be used as a tool for manipulation and personal gain, and it happens all over the world. And that is so true. No matter what country, even in our own country, it can be used as a tool for manipulation. Why is it that everyone uses religion to manipulate?
Yes, it is a double-edged sword. I truly do believe that religion is a very, very powerful and, you know, in many cases, life-saving concept. Religion gives one something much larger than yourself to cling on to look for, to get some hope from. But on the other hand, there are also, as you said, so many instances where religion is manipulated, distorted for personal gain, for power, and for manipulation of people. I think it has more to do with the nature of man than it has to do with religion per se. And I think that you have both sides. You have a lot of very, very good things being done that are really helping humanity that are driven by religion. You have thousands of charities around the world that are driven by religion, by people who are selfless and want to do good for themselves, for other people, to bring religion forward or to leverage religion. But then there are people who really abuse that cover, who use religion as a cover to abuse children, to abuse women, to abuse others. It's a very difficult conversation. It's a very difficult topic. And I think that the more we expose the instances where religion is being used to do not good things, I think that the better the world could be.
Well, you know, you find that out when you talk about Muslims and the Quran. Now, a lot of people, maybe over here in our country, maybe other countries, have a negative view of the Quran, and as well as the Muslim religion, when in essence, what you just said earlier, it's not the religion, but the people who embrace it and what they do with it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that to really know about whatever religion it is, whether it's Islam or whether it's Judaism or Christianity or Hinduism, the first step is knowledge. So I think that without one learning about it oneself and spending some time, if you just hear sound bites, or if you hear, if you look at what's in the papers, you definitely get a perception built, which is, I can tell you about Islam, that is not the true image of Islam. Now, this is a debate that's been going on for many, many, many years, and there's many passions on both sides of that. So what I'm telling you is my personal view, that there are people who really, for Islam, give a very bad impression, a very bad image, of what Islam is, when in fact Islam is not what is portrayed.
And that is so true even with the Christian religion. You know, you have the same thing there. People take it and use it for their cause, you know, turn it around. In fact, you find a lot of religious organizations are almost like businesses, the way they're run. And I wonder why it seems like religions have what you call an inherent business element to them.
Yes, you're right. It is. My thought on this thing is that a religion is a very personal thing, and the more personal it remains, I think the more powerful it is. But as it starts to get into an organization, and we start building organizations around the religion, and I do mean organization hierarchies, then the natural outcome of that is it's a business. Then you start looking at how much money is coming in, how much money is going out, you know, how much power one has, and within the religion, within the hierarchy. And that's where, in my view, religion, it's no longer religion, it's just a business, like any other business.
Now, when we talk about people that are followers of religion, and I always say this, that these kinds of people that are manipulating religion and using them as businesses, they look out for a certain kind of person, that somebody they know is going to be easily manipulated. And I'm just wondering, if a person or a follower is better educated, are they less apt to be manipulated?
I would say that you are spot on, Paul. If I know about religion, and if I know about my religion and other religions, it will be very difficult to manipulate me. But the problem is that I can tell you about Pakistan, and I think this is not just in Pakistan or about Islam. I think this is common in most religions. Religion has been, or religious responsibility, I should say, has been abdicated, and a majority of the population look for, in terms of Pakistan, look for the imams or the people running the mosques as the source or the authority on religion. Whereas my view is that there is a book, whether it's a Quran, whether it's a Bible, whether it's a Torah, there is a book that one can go and read. These are all easily readable books. So, but it takes effort. It will take investment. It will take time to learn about that and to understand it. It's much easier to abdicate and just go to some other person and say, well, tell me what this is. And you have to have now, you know, you're giving a lot of trust into that person. And if that person has some, you know, bad intentions or is not a strictly moral person, then you are going to get lost when you ask for advice from such a person.
Do you think your book, Rat Boys, kind of touches this in a good way, and can this turn things around, or at least open up some eyes?
Yes, I think to say that turn things around, that's a very, very big thing. It would be arrogant of me to say that that would turn things around, but I hope that the book does open up some eyes on, for some people, that, you know, as individuals, we need to take responsibility for our religion. We need to understand what that is, and I truly believe in my heart that it's not that I should just study Islam because I'm a Muslim. I should study all religions. I mean, you know that these religions are Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, they are very, very interconnected. There's a lot, it originated in the same place, have a lot of the same foundations. Learning about those, I think, is a huge step towards, I think, making a better world. And my book is just a small step in a particular area where I've seen this in Pakistan, where religion is used to deform and maim children, something that you would never in your life relate harming a child with religion. But that's what happens, you know, by people who have no moral compass.
Well, they are the ones that are easily manipulated because they have a clean, clear, fresh mind.
You're absolutely right.
waiting for answers and be given information, so they're eager for it, and if the wrong person is there, that's the information they're going to get.
You're right. And children are, and the innocent are the most easily manipulated. As an adult, even if you don't know about religion that much, you could still argue, you know, you could use your experience, your common sense, so maybe. But as a child, yeah, you are just, like you said, a blank slate.
And where do these children come from? Are they from families? Are they ones that do not have families? Where do all these children come from that are so easily manipulated?
Many of these children are just abducted off the streets. They are kidnapped, and they are taken to the shrines, and then they are transformed into these creatures that go out begging so that they can evoke more sympathy from you. In some cases, it's not this, the proportion is much lower, but in some cases, just due to abject poverty and lack of education, it's not unheard of that parents will actually send their children out to go begging, and they get abducted. So, I mean, that is the source. There are a couple of cases that I know of where there are shrines where barren women go and pray, and I'm going to call it an agreement. The agreement is that they pray for a child. And the deal is that if they have a child, they have to give their firstborn child to the shrine. Literally, leave the child at the shrine. And if they don't, then either they will have no more children, or the other children that they will have will be deformed. So what happens is that these women go, they pray, they, you know, by one way or the other, they, let's say, have a child, they will go and give the child willingly to the shrine, and the shrine can do with the child as they wish. So it's
one thing that you brought out is, and that I think is important, that I think in any religion, whether it's a Christian religion, Judeo religion, or the Muslim religion, that, you know, there are people that are being manipulated, and I think that's one thing we all have in common that we probably don't realize.
Absolutely. And look, if you look at the scandal that kind of rocked a little bit the Catholic Church about the abuse of the children, it's you could see a common thread here, that it's usually the ones that are easiest to manipulate and abuse are the ones that are taken advantage of most easily and most quickly. But it's not, and I don't want to convey that this happens across, you know, the entire religion. Religion has a lot of good, but I think it's the people that manipulate and distort religion and use it for their own base desires or personal gain in one form or another, those are the ones that we need to be aware of, that we need to expose.
Now, where can people get your book?
The book is available on Amazon.com. It is available on iTunes, Barnes & Noble. One could also go to my website, ZulfikarRashid.com, and get the book.
Well, I suggest being in this book because, you know, this is a problem that is around the world. And it doesn't just face one country. It faces all countries, in fact. Above beyond countries, it faces all people. And when you look at it that way, you do have a common bond, and that you can identify with one another and find out exactly, you know, what is going on. Because, you know, it's going on everywhere, even right here in our own country. And if you don't think so, I say that you're sadly wrong, because it is. And one way of doing that is to get a book, and this book is The Rat Voice of Kara Labat, and it's by Zulfikar Rashid, and I think you'll find it a very interesting, serious read, and one I think that will be an eye-opener for you. And again, we've been talking with Zulfikar Rashid, and it's been a pleasure having you here on 1550 today.
Thank you very much, Paul. It was a pleasure to be here and talk to you. I really enjoyed it.
And we'll be back.